air mobility and new modes of transportation are one of our main area of interest. We believe that it's going to change dramatically in the next coming years, and we want to be investing in that type of new product. And we think that Oshkosh is a great place to monitor what's happening and meet great inventors, entrepreneur, and new type of product.
I'm here to present this year because we are committed to investing in technology and business opportunities in the aerial mobility space. We think that this is the beginning of a very long cycle, a real blossoming of innovation in aerospace. If we look back to our grandparents' generation, the amount of change that they saw from the first airplanes to the Apollo space program was profound in their lifetime. And since then, we have, on a relative basis, seen less innovation in aerospace. But in the meantime, we have seen a complete transformation of information technology and of computing. And our belief is that that new capability is going to be folded back into aerospace. And we are on the cusp of a huge change and amount of innovation in how we think about using the air to move ourselves and to move goods around.
Francois, why do you think this is happening now?
So again, as like Peter was saying, nothing has very much happened in general aviation for the last 40 to 50 years. We are still flying in the same type of airplane, same type of performance. We've seen new type of cockpits. We've seen parachutes into aircraft. But I think it's time now to make a big change. I've seen the FAA is about to change the way we certify airplanes to allow much more innovation in terms of material design type of propulsion. And I think it's the right time. Emergence of battery, electrical propulsions, new type of software, computing power, algorithm. There's so much things to do to fly differently, more efficiently. And I truly believe in that the next way we're going to move from point A to point B will be mostly in the air.
How do you, as venture capitalists, decide where to put your money? Now, I realize that you've just spent a half an hour explaining how you do that, but could you give me the 30-second version of how you make the choices that you make?
Well, it's a tough question. But what we do is we look at enabling technologies on one hand, and we can see that there are key enabling technologies in propulsion, in safety, in autonomy, that are leading us to the conclusion that we're about to see a huge transformation in the type of air vehicles and how they're going to be used. That conviction is one building block of how we select our investments. But alongside that, we have to acknowledge that we cannot predict the particulars of how this technology is going to manifest, what it's going to look like, which companies are going to win, or how it's going to be used first. And when we look at any given investment, we have to make a bet, and we have to acknowledge that that will be a risk factor that exists going forward. And so we try to pick companies that are either agnostic to that risk or are somehow otherwise insulated from the particulars of the timing of when these things happen.
Can you give an example of that?
Well, you can look at a number of companies that are in the space right now that have perfectly good businesses today that stand to benefit hugely from the proliferation of new types of air vehicles and their more common use in urban or ex-urban mobility. Those are companies that can be very interesting investments because you're investing in an existing business. And if this revolution in the use of this type of new aerial mobility happens in 5 years or it happens in 10 years, doesn't matter from an investment standpoint because you still have a business that you're invested in that will benefit ultimately at that point.
When we look at an investment, we usually look at three different points. The team, first of all, who are the entrepreneurs that are taking care of that project. And we're going to look at their ability to, pivot. Usually it's not a long, direct highway, but there's usually a lot of turns, curbs, and we want to make sure that the team will be able to adapt, adjust to all the different difficulties that they're going to face. And if solution A doesn't work, then they're going to quickly move to solution B or solution C. So the team is really important, and we like to know the team for 12 to 18 months before any investment. The disruption, the innovation that they're bringing to the market, how it disrupts the other solution that are already existing, how it's new, or what value it brings to the market. And the last one is, what's the size of the market? And usually in the past, we've seen very great ideas, great team, but addressing a too small market, at least for us, to be able to invest or put $1 million on the project. And that's really the three elements that we are looking at. And we think that what's changing now is that the size of the market might change, because again, regulation is more mature and more ready, and people are ready to change the way they move to from one point to another.
There are lots of metaphors that could be used to describe what a venture capitalist does. Mentor, coach, coordinator, angel, soothsayer. Which one of those, or is maybe there another one that you identify with as you look at what you bring to the work that you do?
The one that comes to mind, the first for me, is partner. Selecting the investment is selecting a long-term relationship with an entrepreneur. And once you've made that investment, the way that I look at it and the way that I've done it in my career is, you are in the same boat with that management team, and you are doing everything you can to get the company's product to market, to help build an organization that grows from that inception stage, very scrappy startup, into the company that can serve its customers and can scale. And, you know, helping and participating in that growth each step of the way, it's a partnership.
That's Peter Shannon, who's the managing director of Levitate Capital, also talking with Francois Chopard with Starburst Aerospace Accelerator. How would you answer that question about what the role of the venture capitalist is, for you at least?
So you're right. When we invest into a company, we want to be able to make a difference. We want to bring what we call smart money. If the team doesn't just need money, they probably don't need us. So we want to sense what we're going to be able to bring them in order to get their products to the market quicker, more effectively, and our capacity to help them bringing this new type of product to the market to make a difference.
Let's assume that you have a wish list, or that you've got several wish lists. You've got one for regulators, you've got one for industrialists, maybe you've got a wish list for inventors. Briefly, what's on that wish list for regulators?
What's happening now is very promising. So being able to use the latest technology, whether it's materials, whether it's electronics, whether it's a new type of computations, to the markets, and having the regulator allowing us to use the best technology available. That's my wish list. And right now, it's not possible.
Yeah. How about for inventors, scientists, engineers, inventors? What's on your wish list for them?
I think the thing on my wish list there is that we could find a way to enable know-how from different industries to integrate into aerospace faster. The amount of innovation going on in computer vision and autonomous systems, be it in ground robots or in automobiles, is tremendous. And there is a lot of it that can transfer over to this space. So that's just one example of many. Look across electric drivetrain as well. Finding ways, and all of us are going to play a role in this, but finding ways to integrate this know-how across industry borders more quickly is what I would wish for.
Francois, for the inventor?
And so in the aerospace industry, we've seen a lot of inventors. We saw less innovators, which mean inventors combined with entrepreneurs. So for pure inventors, I would wish that they team as early as they can with a strong entrepreneur so they can take into account the market that they want to address. So they are not just designing products that have nice technology, but product that will fit into a market, fit into a product right at the beginning. So they won't lose their time and they will make more money.
And how about for industrialists, for the aerospace manufacturers who are looking at getting in and maybe looking at attracting investments from your companies? Peter?
I would say it would be flexibility in business models and a outlook towards being adaptable in the contrast between how you do business today and how you might be able to do business in the future with new technology and new modes of transport.
And for these industrialists or at least these new entrepreneurs, I really encourage them to hit harder on the market. I truly believe that disruption will not come from the large corporates. They will not be able to enter this new market, and so there's a huge opportunity for this new type of entrepreneur. And so they really need to push hard to be consistent over time, because they are going to be the one who's going to succeed.
What do you hope to get from attending the AirVenture Oshkosh event this week?
Exposure to new ideas and meeting as many people as I can. That's my primary goal here.
Same thing. Learn a lot. Being smarter at the end. Get exposed to new ideas, new entrepreneur. Meet as many project ideas as possible.
That's Francois Chopard, who's the founder of Starburst Aerospace Accelerator, talking also with Peter Shannon, the managing director of Levitate Capital. For EAA Radio, I'm Mike Morgan.